First, let's take a look at our headlines.
Cuba pays tribute to Hugo Chavez 7 years after his departure.
Congress of National Association of the Deaf concludes.
Former Nobel Peace Prize winner nominates Evo Morales for the 2020 distinction.
Health officials warn coronavirus is far deadlier than the flu.
And now the news in detail.
Seven years after the death of Venezuelan leader Hugo Chavez, intellectuals, diplomats, historians, students, and activists from Venezuela and Cuba remembered in Havana the revolutionary legacy of the Comandante. Several of Chavez's revolutionary, liberating, and profound ideas, inherited by the progressive movements in Latin America, as well as his relationship with the Cuban revolutionary leader Fidel Castro, were mentioned in the commemoration held at the Casa del Alba Cultural in Havana as part of the tribute to the renowned Venezuelan, reported Telesur. Among the activities organized for the anniversary of the Bolivarian leader's passing, writer Germán Sánchez presented the second volume of his biographical work on Chavez. Sánchez, who was the Cuban ambassador to Venezuela, read from his work on the life of Chavez, which has an introduction by the current Venezuelan president, Nicolás Maduro. Sánchez announced the production of a third volume to be published by the end of this year. Comandante Hugo Chavez Frías died in Caracas on March 5, 2013.
Defending the rights of the hearing-impaired people to a healthier life in which Cuban Sign Language is the main language was one of the central elements of the discussions at the 5th Congress of the National Association of the Deaf and SOC, which concluded on Wednesday. In the event's final declaration, delegates expressed their unconditional support for the economic and social policy of the government and the Cuban Communist Party. They also condemned the policy of the United States and its allies of attacking sister countries in Latin America and the world, in opposition to the international law. Cuba pays special attention to the community of deaf people to achieve inclusive participation in social life.
The Argentinian activist and human rights defender Adolfo Pérez Esquivel has announced that he is nominating the former Bolivian president Evo Morales for the 2020 Nobel Peace Prize. Pérez received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1980 due to his commitment to defending democracy and human rights against the region's military dictatorships of that time. It is an honor for me to inform you that I have nominated Evo Morales Ayma for the Nobel Peace Prize for the year 2020, the Argentinian announced on his Twitter account. In his letter to the committee, Pérez said he proposed the award for a social leader, the first indigenous president of Latin America, who managed to implement successful programs to fight poverty, inequality, and peace. The model of a country with equality, social justice, and sovereignty that Evo led must be recognized internationally.
The World Health Organization affirms that the global death rate from the disease caused by the new coronavirus is 3.4%, far deadlier than the seasonal flu. The warning came as the number of coronavirus deaths outside of China surpassed the number inside China for the first time. In the U.S., Washington State reported another coronavirus death, the ninth in the region. In New York, Mayor Bill de Blasio said a Manhattan lawyer has become the second person in the city to test positive for the new coronavirus. Officials have closed two separate schools in the Bronx attended by the patient's son. So far, they have not tested positive. Two other schools in New York's northern suburbs are also closed out of what officials called an abundance of caution. The Wall Street Journal reports the Donald Trump administration is considering using a national disaster program to cover the cost of treating coronavirus for the 27 million Americans without health coverage. The nation's largest union of registered nurses, National Nurses United, has called the nation's public health system woefully unprepared for the pandemic and demanded that once a vaccine is developed, it should be made free to the public.
And you've tuned to the news here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us on the international shortwave radio frequencies of RHC, Radio Havana, Cuba. Now let's go back over to our news with Susana Nieves and Jorge Millares.
The first Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of Cuba, Marcelino Medina, reported that delegations from the island and Canada began consultations between the two countries on the 75th anniversary of the diplomatic ties between the two nations. Medina, who concluded an official visit to Quebec, highlighted that meetings reviewed the links between the Caribbean country and that Canadian province and reaffirmed the interest in expanding cooperation in areas such as tourism, energy, agriculture, and climate change. The meeting also highlighted the importance of the Office of Quebec in Havana to foster economic, educational, cultural, and scientific exchanges, as well as to promote collaboration in sectors of common interest. The Cuban diplomat's visit confirmed the good state of relations between the island and Quebec and the existing potential for deepening ties in various fields. Meanwhile, the 75 years of relations between Cuba and Canada were celebrated on Wednesday at the Cuban Embassy in Ottawa, with the presence of Medina Gonzalez and the Prime Minister's Foreign Policy and Defense Advisor, David Morrison, along with 200 Canadian and Cuban friends, the Cuban ambassador to Canada, Josefina Vidal, said on Twitter.
Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez arrived in Panama on Wednesday for an official visit. He was received at Tocumen International Airport by the state's director of protocol, Miguel Lecaro. The minister's program, which will last until next Saturday, includes official talks with the Panamanian counterpart, Alejandro Ferrer, and a tour of the Foreign Ministry's headquarters, located in the Simón Bolívar's Palace, site of the 1826 Congress convened by the liberator Simón Bolívar. Bruno Rodríguez will also hold meetings with Pedro Miguel González, Secretary General of the ruling Democratic Revolutionary Party, and other members of the national leadership of the party, as well as leaders of the People's Party and Broad Front for Democracy. He will also meet at the Legislative Palace with Deputy Marcos Castillero, President of the National Assembly, and other legislators from different political parties and the Parliamentary Group of Friendship with Cuba.
In Mexico, feminists are calling for a national strike on March the 9th, one day after International Women's Day, to protest skyrocketing gender-based violence in the country. Calls for a national strike are being led by the Mexican feminist group Witches of the Sea. The strike has been referred to as a day without us, calling on women to not go to work or school, to stay out of the streets, and to avoid participating in the economy in any way for 24 hours. Arusi Unda, a member of Witches of the Sea, told reporters, "I believe that women in Mexico are tired of the different types of violence that are committed against us in all spaces. It is not only a feminicide crisis, but also day-to-day, in homes, in schools, on the streets, on the job. It seems that there is no place that is safe for us," unquote. Plans for the national strike gained momentum after the brutal murders in February of 25-year-old Ingrid Escamilla, who was killed and mutilated by her partner, and 7-year-old Fatima, who was kidnapped and later found dead, wrapped in a plastic bag. In Mexico, at least 10 women are killed every day.
In climate news, Wells Fargo has ruled out investing in oil and gas drilling in the Arctic, making it the third major U.S. bank to withdraw support for fossil fuel projects in the ecologically delicate region. Earlier this week, the Sierra Club hailed Wells Fargo's pledge, but warned the shift does not improve the bank's other oil and gas financing policies. This comes as the Donald Trump administration is pushing forward with plans to open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to drilling.
CNN reports that Donald Trump's new personnel chief is distributing questionnaires to potential political appointees to verify their loyalty to the president. As part of a Trump litmus test, candidates must explain what part of Trump's campaign most appealed to them. The campaign to identify and purge anti-Trump staffers is being led by 29-year-old John McEntee, who Trump recently appointed head of the presidential personal office. Before he was rehired this year, McEntee was fired in 2018 by then Chief of Staff John Kelly because he was under federal investigation for financial crimes.
In the U.S., a top Democratic lawmaker is demanding answers from a secretive artificial intelligence company over its sale of facial recognition technology to repressive governments, including Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey sent a letter to Clearview AI demanding information about the company's database of billions of images scraped from Facebook and other social media sites. Senator Markey wrote, "The use of sophisticated facial recognition technology is of concern even in a democracy with strong civil liberties, but its export to certain foreign countries could enable mass surveillance and repression." In recent days, students at 3 dozen U.S. universities held protests against administrators' plans to use facial recognition on their campuses.
And those are some of the stories we're following for you here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Let's take a look once again at our headlines.
Cuba pays tribute to Hugo Chavez 7 years after his departure.
Congress of National Association of the Deaf concludes.
Former Nobel Peace Prize winner nominates Evo Morales for the 2020 distinction.
Health officials warn coronavirus is far deadlier than the flu.